Amen. Wow. What an amazing night. Did you guys enjoy praise and worship? I thought that was special when we were all, you know, singing Yahweh, Yahweh. I could just sense that, you know, and the presence of the Lord is here in this place tonight. Whatever you need tonight is your night. We're not just here on a Wednesday night just to say we're here, but I know that we're all here expecting something, and we're expecting something special from the Master. And just like what Pastor Dieter said, are you guys thankful for your pastor? A man of God who loves the Word of God. That's a good thing, right? And who preaches the Word of God. There's a lot of people, they don't preach the Word of God. But a man who loves the Word. I love the Word of God. And that is something we can put our faith in no matter what. You can't put your faith in circumstances. You can't put your faith in people. Can I get an amen for that? Oh, if they do something for me, you know, they gave me their word. They're going to do this. No, we have our faith in God, and our faith is in the Word of God. And we read it, and we don't just read it. We do it, and we see what God does for us. So I'm expecting something amazing tonight. Destiny, I want you to, did you want to sing a song tonight? All right, no. But never mind. I just keep on talking. But God is so good, and I love His presence. His presence is here. I'm honored to be here at Victory Life Fellowship. And I'm not just saying that, but I consider an honor. And I'm excited what God is doing here in Kelowna. We think about this. We're here on a Wednesday night, and we're lifting up Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Nothing else. It's all about Him, and we lift Him up. Amen? Destiny and I, we've been, this 2017 was our busiest year. We traveled to, I think it was 4 different nations. And we saw God do the miraculous. We saw miracles. We saw signs and wonders. We saw people that were discouraged, encouraged. And I know tonight is going to be the same way. And you're not just looking at me saying, oh, no, you look to Jesus. Amen. It's interesting how, you know, this life of faith, and that's what it is. It's a life of faith. And sometimes you might feel like saying one thing or going this way, but you go, you know what? I have my faith in God, and I know I don't feel like I'm the best, but you say I am the best. I maybe not feel like I'm healed. I am healed. And it's amazing how God will put people in your past that are people of faith. I love people that are truly people of faith. They are never discouraged. You can't go, my family was this way. When I was a little boy, I could never skip school. I would say, Mom, I don't feel very well. Well, let's get in the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about that? And I said, I actually feel kind of good. I'm trying to skip school. What does the Word of God say, Brandon? Faith. Or someone that you know, a loved one, they're in the hospital, and you say, what's going on? What's I'm hearing people are saying he's not doing very well. How's he doing? He's doing very well. He's doing great. We put our trust in God. We're not led by our emotions. Mom, are you sure? I'm hearing other things. He's going to be okay. He's going to be okay. What if he doesn't make it? He's with Jesus. Can it get any better than that? It's just amazing. People of faith. How are you? I'm blessed and highly favored. We are called to be people of faith. And the Lord has put these people in my life. And it's been amazing. And not just people of faith, but people of revival. And we are not just called to be people of faith. We are called to be people of revival. Where we're revived ourselves and we can help other people who maybe are not so on fire for God. We can revive them. Maybe just saying one word, God loves you. Hey, don't be discouraged. God has a plan for your life. Hey, get to church on Sunday morning. We are called to be people of revival. There's people that are all around us here in the city of Kelowna, and they're so dry spiritually. They've probably been to church camp when they were little kids, but they haven't been to church in no telling how many years. But here we are, we're on the scene, and we are called to be on fire for God. We are called to revive them, just saying, hey, you know what? You look good, and you don't know what you're doing. You don't. God has put people in our paths, and it's not just to put them there, but there's a purpose for it. God does things with a purpose. And as people of faith, people of revival, we need to live with a purpose, a God's purpose, saying, God, use me. I'm your instrument. And whatever you want me to say, I'll say it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Because there's people that God wants to reach, and he's called all of us to do it. That the word preach, you know, so many people say, well, I'm not called to preach. The word preach is to proclaim or declare. We are all called to proclaim Jesus and declare that he is Lord and that he loves everybody, everywhere we go. So we were in Mexico, and we saw God do the miraculous. We saw a lady, she was crippled, she couldn't walk. When we first went to the conference, I'm thinking, how in the world am I here at this conference? 800-900 people there, overflow, downtown Ensenada. Here's this, you know, white boy there. And I'm there, and I say, God, why am I here? He had a purpose for me. I'm not just there just to be there. Like tonight, I'm not just here just to be here, just to say I preached in Cologne on Wednesday night. Forget that. If we go by that, it's not worth it. But we're here on an assignment that we will leave out these doors forever changed, not just you, but for me. That, wow, we went to Kelowna and God did something. People might say, oh, there's only 40 people there. Who cares about that? Stop looking at the numbers. If there's one person there, that's what matters. So we're there, and this lady comes up to me in Mexico. She said, son, I've been praying for you, for your service. I said, thank you so much. Here, my service was a couple days later. I was preaching, and after the service was over, we were praying for people, and I said, God's healing someone. Right there, the lady came running and jumping. She was completely healed by the power of God. But let me tell you, she didn't have her faith in me, thank God. She had her faith in the healer, Jesus. And if we're believing for something, I want to encourage you, we get our eyes off of the situation. Maybe a need, and sometimes it's so hard not to put your eyes on that need or that pain in your body. But we take our eyes and we put it off that and we put it on Jesus. And let me tell you, everything else will go away. But the man who put on this conference, a powerful man of God, and Destiny and I, my wife, we've gotten really close with him. And this is a man of revival. This is a man of faith. This is a man that's been shot at multiple times. Doesn't get discouraged. There's Christians today, if you talk one bad word about them, they cry and say, I'm never going to go to that church. So-and-so talked about me. Who cares? Who cares? Why are you letting that affect you? And the enemy knows this. He'll send people, and they'll be on assignment, and they don't even know what they're doing, and they'll say some words, and only when you hear them, it's like meant towards you. Like maybe in the natural, you're insecure about something, and here comes a person, they say something, and it just like triggers it. That's the enemy. And we got to be smarter than his tactics, amen? So, you know, this man of revival, man on fire, faith-filled man, I want to share with you a little bit of his story. I pray it will encourage you. Because his story is a supernatural story. And we are people that are supernatural people. We're not limited to what's going on here or what's going on in the BC area. No, we are supernatural people, and we have a supernatural God. And I'm thankful for that. We don't have to be limited by the economy. Or we don't have to be limited by, if it's tourist season. No, we have our faith in God. This man, he's been in ministry his whole entire life. And one day, he was a young guy, and they came up to him, and they said, hey, we want you, he lives in San Diego, we want you to come preach right by the border. And he said, nah, I don't really want to. And they kept saying, please, please, come, we want to hear faith. There's so many people out there, they don't know what faith is. People need to hear what you guys have, what you guys carry. Don't sell yourself short. They said, we want to hear faith. People are hungry for faith. The nations are hungry for faith. They're hungry for encouragement. That's what faith is. You're encouraged all the time. You're never discouraged because our faith's in God. So they go, you know, finally he said, okay, I'll go. They kept talking to him. Please come, come to the border. There's people hungry. They're hungry for faith. They need to hear this. I don't want to. Okay, I'll go. So they start driving, and they're getting kind of close to the Mexico border. He lives in San Diego. He says, what are you guys doing? You guys are getting kind of close to the border. It's a little bit scary. And they kept going, and they drove through Mexico. He said, I did not agree to come to Mexico. I thought the border was in California. We weren't going to go into Mexico. I don't want to go here. He said he was all scared. He's going into Tijuana, not the best city. It's not like Kelowna. Come on, you don't have the lakes and all that. The beautiful scenery, the mountains, you know, this is another world. Tijuana, he said, I was so scared. I was so scared. And a minister of faith, word of faith, he was kind of scared, you know. Sometimes your body, you'll go through things. You'll feel like you are scared or going through a situation, but you just tell that, be calm. I have my faith in God, amen. So he's fighting it. They're driving up this mountain. Tiny little roads just going up, higher and higher and higher. And he said, he was thinking, what are we doing? I made a mistake. And all of a sudden, he said he saw a mule. It was tied to a tree. The mule looked at him, the donkey, and shook his head like this. He said, I knew that was a message from God. Do not go up the mountain. He said the donkey had more sense than I did. So he goes up to the top of the mountain. The place is filled. Tons of people. He goes in. He says, okay, I'll preach one time. Goes in, preaches his message. God bless you. God loves you. And so do I. See you later. Miracles started breaking out. God started moving. They started chanting. And they started singing. And he got up with them, and he started chanting, started singing with them. And he didn't even know what he was saying, that he was speaking Spanish. He was just repeating them. And his uncle, who was with him, who drove him, said, stop, you know, you're teasing the people. Stop teasing the people. You can't do that to them, you know. And he goes, what do you mean? He says, you are chanting revival, revival, revival with them, and you don't want to be here. He said, how do you say no revival? How do you chant, what's no revival in Spanish? So he said, God, I'll give you 3 days. God moved in those 3 days. And the Lord kept putting on his heart, I've called you to start a work here in Mexico. But he said, God, I don't like talking through interpreter. I feel like my point doesn't get across. I need to know without a shadow of a doubt if I'm called to be here. I'll be here for 30 days and I'll preach every night. But after the 30 days, if nothing else changes, I'm going to go back to San Diego. So for 30 days, morning and night, they were doing church, doing services, miracles breaking out. More people were coming. More people were coming. On the 30th day at night, he went up to preach like a normal night, and he couldn't speak. His mouth was, he couldn't talk. He kept going. Only thing he could say was this, Spirit the Santo, Spirit the Santo, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. They're like, they brought him in the back and they said, what's wrong with you? You know, get together. You need some more water? Need some green tea? Come on, you need some coffee, Tim Hortons? What's going on? Starbucks? All right, Tim Hortons, Starbucks, whatever. What's going on? He said, no, God's doing something. So he goes out there. He can't talk. He said, God's doing something. He felt like a fire in his throat. And then finally, he went up there and kept saying, Spirit the Santo, Spirit the Santo. And then all of a sudden, he felt something loose, and he started speaking Spanish fluently. Understood it, and he writes in it. God says, I've called you to Mexico. Supernatural. We are people that are supernatural people, and we have a God that is a supernatural God. And we put our trust in him, and him and alone, no matter what, God, he is the God of the impossible. He will make it possible for us. But he's asking us tonight to put our faith in him and him alone. Maybe you're believing God for something and there's in the natural, there's no way it could come forth. Let me tell you, you put your faith in him tonight. Lord, I thank you for this time, Lord. I thank you for your presence, Lord. Your presence is here. We give you, God, all the glory, all the praise, that we never be the same again. I pray, Lord, let this message burn inside of their hearts, that they will leave forever changed in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. God is so good. We serve such a good, good God. So recently, me spending time in prayer and just spending time with the Lord has brought this back up, this story about what happened when I was a little boy. And he kept bringing it back up to me and back up to me. I've totally forgotten about it. And I want to share with you tonight. I pray it will bless you. And it was when I was about 9 years old. It was a Sunday night church service, just like a normal Sunday night church service. I like Sunday night meetings. I don't know why, just something about them. So we went to the service, just like a normal day. Little Brandon, he would run up to the soundboard, play around with his friends, draw, maybe look at people, laugh, you know, play little games. But I remember this Sunday night was different. And the Lord's been just putting this on my heart lately. And I remember up there, and that weekend we had a motorcycle rally. So we had a lot of bikers. And the deal was, you know, Friday and Saturday, we had the motorcycle rally. Sunday morning, Sunday night, you come to church. So the place is packed full of bikers. We thought it was really cool. Look at that guy. Look, he's so tough looking. Look at that leather jacket. That's so cool. So the pastor came up and he preached his message. Service was over, we thought. The Holy Spirit moved into that church service. The presence of God filled the place. Those men, those tough guys, they start crying. They start shaking under the presence of God. They fall on the ground. No one can even get them up, and they're crying, Jesus, save me. Jesus, I love you. Forgive me. I rededicate my life to you, Jesus. No one could get these guys to stop. And I remember going down and looking at them. I actually got down on the ground and looked at this one guy's face. I still had that face burned in my spirit of what he looked like, crying out to God. And the Lord's been putting this on my heart. I've been seeing this. And I said, God, why do you keep showing me this? And he said, Brandon, because it is coming back to the churches. It's not just about the message, but when the Holy Spirit comes in and we are forever changed. Let me tell you, those biker guys were forever changed. It was the presence of God that filled the place. And the presence of the Lord is here tonight. Amen? It's coming back to the churches. It's here. Recently, we were at this theme park and we were looking at these movie sets, and they were showing, it looked like New York, Chicago, all these different cities, and the guy spoke and said, this is a facade. Your mind, we basically play tricks on your mind. It looks like it's a big city, but really it isn't. It's just the front wall. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. There's a lot of churches today that are just facades. They look like a church, but do they have the power? Do they preach the word of God? Do they preach faith? Be thankful that you go to a church that's not a facade, that preaches the word of God, that preaches faith. Amen. Don't take it lightly. There's not a lot of places that do. Cherish it. Whatever your pastor says to you, do it. Believe it. It's the word of God. Amen. So I want you guys to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Amen. King James is fine, yeah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. If you like to take titles of a message, you can put no weights. As Christians, we don't need to carry any weights, amen? Not just small ones, but no weights at all. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says this, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." I like it. It says, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What is this? This is heaven. They're not just our loved ones. You might have some loved ones up in heaven. I have loved ones. I have people that are so dear to me that are up there. And guess what? They're not just up there playing the harp, just waiting around. No, they're watching us. They're watching what is going on in Kelowna, what is going on in Victory in Life. It says we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. Be encouraged, you're not alone. That's a good thing. We're not alone. You might feel like you're alone. There might be things telling you you're alone, you're by yourself, but we are not alone. We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. It says, let us lay aside, not let someone else do it for us, but let us, you and I, no one else is going to do it for us, but we have to do this, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We have a race that is set before us. We don't have to try to set it ourselves. We don't have to try to make the connections to set it ourselves. No, God, before the foundation of the world, has set a lane for you and I. And it's our lane. It's not someone else's lane. You only have your fingerprint. No one else has your fingerprint. And no one else has your lane to run. Even Apple knows this. Only you can open your phone with that thumbprint. Destiny tries to open my phone all the time. It doesn't work. She don't have my thumbprint. We have been fearfully and wonderfully made. We are one of a kind. We are his masterpiece, built by the master. I'm not just trying to say this to, you know, make you feel good. This is the truth. This is in the word of God. David talks about God. You think about me more than the sand on the seashore. God thinks about you more than you think about him. He's saying, that's my boy. That's my girl. Look at her. She has faith in me. Look at them. Look at that couple. They just got married and they sowed that seed to church. That's faith. He takes notice of it. Our God takes good records. He's not behind. He's ahead. But we have our race. We have our lane. And guess what? Heaven has got our backs. We can run our race knowing that heaven has got our backs. And we are not alone. So many Christians out there, I just feel alone. No one likes me. Hey, you are not alone. Heaven is with us. They're in on this moment right now. They're watching us. This is our time to run our race. Paul had his time. Paul ran a good race. For a while, it was really bad. When he was Saul, wasn't a good race. Changed his name to Paul. Paul, he did really good. David, he ran a great race. Elijah, he ran an amazing race. All of them. Abraham. But guess what? Now it's our turn. It's our turn. And just like in track, when you do the 4x1 relays. Hello, I still remember track. Come on. I was trying to impress Colton. All right, 4x1 relays. At the very end, the last racer, guess what? You put the fastest on the end. You don't put the fastest on the first, second, and then put the slowest guy at the very end. That would be terrible. Imagine having this huge lead, and all of a sudden you have the slowest guy at the end, and he's just like, and everyone passes him. No, you put the fastest guy at the end. I remember running track. I was like the second one. I wasn't the last one. But I remember the guy would go, and it'd be my turn. I'd be running and everything. I felt like I was going really fast. I'd be running, pass it off. And I remember we'd be kind of behind a little bit. You know, I will admit to you guys. We were a little behind, you know. It was because the first guy, not me. So I pass it to the third guy. And we got a little bit more behind. But I remember we had a guy at the end. And I was like his biggest cheerleader. I was like, get it, boy, you got it. I knew his name. Come on, you got it. And when he got that, he would catch us right back, and we'd win the race every time. He was the fastest guy, and he was at the end. Let me tell you, we are in the end days. We are in the last days, and God has kept his fastest racers, you and I, for the end. Aren't you thankful for that? Some of you are saying, I don't really believe that. Well, you have to have faith. Have faith. God has, you're here for a purpose. God isn't a purpose God. He doesn't just do things by accident. But we are here on an assignment. Heaven is not our home. Or heaven is our home. Earth is not our home. We are on a heavenly assignment. So it says this, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside, run with patience the race that is set before us. And we are called to lay aside every weight. We can't be running with any weights on. What could be a weight, Brandon? Unforgiveness, that's a big weight. Worry, that's a huge weight. You cannot be running your race with any weights on. Sickness, that's a weight. But the blood of Jesus took care of sickness over 2,000 years ago. Depression, that's a weight. But I want to say, before we leave tonight, there will be no more weights in Jesus' name. Do you guys believe that? No more weights. Every weight has to go. It has to go. So verse 2, so we see here, we have a race. We got a, heaven's got our back. They're cheering us. They're yelling our name. And we're not called to have any weights on. Verse 2, it says this, looking unto Jesus. I like that. It says we have a race. The lane has been set. And it says look unto Jesus. What a perfect example for us to look at. We look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Here's Jesus' race right here. We're about to hear Jesus' race. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Why did he despise the shame? So we don't have to deal with it anymore. Another translation says he went through the humiliation because we don't have to deal with that anymore. He despised it all. Discouragement, he took it all for us. Despising the shame and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we are called to look unto Jesus. Let me tell you, as a born again child of God, when you look to Jesus, you're on fire for him. He is your number one. We are called to be on fire for Jesus. This is our calling. This is not a suggestion. We cannot be lukewarm right now. We got to be so full of Jesus. We got to put our eyes on him all the time. Not just on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, but all the time. So everywhere we go, Jesus goes. Everywhere we go. It's not just inside the four walls. It's for outside the four walls. In Acts, everywhere the apostles went, Jesus went, and things happened. The place would light up, and they would get, and all this persecution will come. They would say, these men have came into our city, and they have turned the world upside down. That should be you and I. Jesus talks about it all the time. We are called to be the salt of the earth. We're called to be different. We're called to be unique. You might say, oh, I'm not like everybody else. Guess what? You're not called to be like everybody else. You're called to be different. You're special to God. And this is not a suggestion. Revelation, Jesus says, I know if you're hot or cold. I know. You might be fooling some people. You might be fooling some loved ones, but you're not fooling Jesus. He says, I know if you're hot or cold. This is not a suggestion. We're called to be on fire for him. I know what it's like to, you know, not be so on fire for Jesus. And I know what it's like to be on fire for him, where he's my number one. And let me tell you, it's far better. Amen? We got to be hungry for Jesus. Jesus is the real. And as we run our race and we look to Jesus, it's literally like you get a second wind when you look to him. In track, you know, they tell you when you're running and you get so exhausted, and you feel like quitting, it's like that second wind kicks in and you can't feel anything and you just start running faster. That's what it's like when you feel discouraged, when you feel like everything's coming against you. Let me tell you, you put your eyes on him and it will be like a second wind comes. That's a good thing, amen. We put our eyes on him. We don't look to people. We don't look to what other people are doing. We look to Jesus. And we know without a shadow of doubt, God, you called me. I'll go where you want me to go. And I put my eyes on you. Destiny and I, we've been in full-time ministry for almost 3 years. And let me tell you, without me putting my eyes on Jesus, I could have gone 100 different ways. I had everyone from family saying, oh, what about this? What about that? And I said, you know what? God's called me to be a minister. I am going to go. Even if I'm preaching to one person, I will go because I know God has called me to do it. And I put my eyes on Jesus and him alone. Amen. That was Jesus' race. Jesus didn't come down on earth just to be worshipped and adored. He came to be the perfect sacrifice for you and I. That's what his purpose was. He had us on his mind when he was going through the cross. It talks about in John that he was whipped. His back was laid open. He did that for you and I. That was his race. To go through the things that we should have went through, but he took it for us. The perfect substitute. The Lamb of God. Amen. Verse 3, it says this. For consider him, Jesus, that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. It says this, if you feel like getting discouraged, if you feel like quitting and giving up, look to Jesus. Look what he went through, and you won't want to give up. The Message translation says it will literally shoot adrenaline in your soul. What he did for us. Isn't that awesome? And sickness is a weight. There's a lot of Christians and they're carrying that weight of sickness. And guess what? It's been paid for. Sickness has been paid for over 2,000 years ago. What's the enemy? The enemy knows the power of you and I putting our eyes on Jesus. He knows this. He's a deceiver. It talks about he's a deceiver of the brethren. And guess what? Deceiving is deceiving. And he knows the power of us when we put our eyes on Jesus and him alone. And he'll try everything he can to get our eyes off of Jesus. He knows it. Anything. But I believe this is one of the biggest ones that he'll try, and that's comparison. Where we're not looking to Jesus anymore, and we're looking to people. And God says, son, I've called you for a special race. And I've called you to look to me. Yeah, I know you feel discouraged and you feel like giving up. But didn't I say in my word of God to look to me what I went through? How I despised the shame. I despised the humiliation for you. The enemy is trying and you're looking to other people. And you're saying, wow, I wish I was like them. And Jesus is saying, hey, I have something special for you. Yeah, that's great that they're doing that, but I have something special and unique for you. And this is so filled, like in our society, this is so filled up with this comparison. You get on your phone, you get on your Facebook, your Instagram, and you see people's highlight reel. You don't see the real life they live. You see their highlight reel. Wow, look at that. They got that. They got that car. What is it? It's comparison. It's trying to get your eyes off of Jesus. You're happy having your little vacation here in Kelowna. You see one of your friends having a vacation in Mexico. Oh, I wish I had that. Trying to get your eyes off of Jesus. And it's so filled with this. Comparison. But God has something special for each and every one of us. That's something we can have we can take faith in that and know that. There's no one like you. He loves you. Amen. Comparison. And this is dangerous. This isn't something just to play around with. And envy is not something just to play around with. It is very dangerous. And there's examples in the Word of God where people got their eyes of what God had called them to do, and they looked to other people, and guess what? They crashed. When you're running a race, and you're in your lane, and you're running for the finish line, you don't want to be looking at other people saying, wow, I like his tennis shoes. Wow, he's really good. What's going to happen? You're gonna crash. And so many people, they look to their past of what they've gone through, or maybe they don't feel like they're good enough because when they're little kids, someone told them that, and they're running, they're trying to run their race, and they're looking backwards the whole time. And guess what? We're not going backwards anymore. We're going forward. And we have our eyes on Jesus. Jesus did this. In Isaiah chapter 50, it talks about when he was going through the cross, and it was prophesying about it, and it says that he set his eyes on his Father like a flint. He was not moved. Think about it. It talks about when he was going through the cross, he didn't make a word, he didn't make a sound. He didn't say anything. They were mocking him, shoving the crown of thorns on his head. Blood was coming out, spitting at him, saying, oh, we thought you were this, the Son of God. Why don't you save yourself? He didn't say a word. It says that he set his eyes on his Father like a flint. He was not moved by what people were saying. Everyone around him was telling him, you're no good, save yourself. Are you really the Son of God? And he didn't say a word. Because he knew what God had called him to do. When he was in the garden and he was sweating blood and he says, Lord, have this cup pass from me, but nevertheless not my will, but your will. It's not about what we want, it's about what he wants for our life. And that blood, sweating blood, he was going through, it was so exhausting. And this can happen when you're going through so much pressure. And our Father, Jesus, he was going through this. But he says, God, not my will, but your will. He ran the perfect race for you and I. And you feel discouraged when people say things about you or make fun of you or say, Brandon, you wear too skinny of a pant, skinny jeans, whatever. I got my eyes on Jesus. We can't care what people think. We can, you know, appreciate what they say. Thank you. But we got to put our eyes on Jesus. And say, I have a race. You're not running my race. You can run your race. If your race, whatever you want to do, you run your race. But I have my race. I know what God's called me to do. And I put my eyes on Jesus because he knows my heart. And I'll go wherever he wants me to go. And I'll do whatever he wants me to do. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. It says this. He keeps him in perfect peace whose mind is on him. You have your eyes on Jesus. He said in his word, he keeps you in perfect peace. I like that. Perfect peace. And so many people, you know, the word of God, the heroes in here, they went through some things. And it just seems like it's such a glorious, you know, you read about it and say, oh, wow, look at that. But they went through some stuff that was not comfortable. But they had a faith in God that wasn't wishy-washy, and they had their eyes on what he had called them to go and had called them to do. We got to have that. He keeps them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. But comparison, I want to share a little bit about that. We can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Are you guys getting blessed tonight? I only have like 2 more hours. Is that cool? Heaven's got our back. You are a masterpiece built by the Master. Heaven is cheering our name. Amen. The Passion Translation of verse 2 in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about, you know, we were reading about laying aside every weight. It says every, in the Passion Translation, it says every wound that has pierced us, laid aside. Every wound that has pierced you. There's been some wounds that have tried to pierce me. But we go, you know what? I don't need to dwell on that anymore. I put my eyes on him. And the enemy will try to throw that past and try to bring back those thoughts. But you make a stand saying, I put my eyes on Jesus. How do we do this? How do we activate this? Get in the Word of God. Be people of faith. That's how we run our race, with our eyes on Him. Sowing and tithing, that's, you know, putting your trust in Jesus. Running your race, amen. So comparison. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5, it says this. And David went out wheresoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. I would like to have this race. It said he was wise, he was over the men of war. How cool is that, right? He was great. Verse 6, and it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, they took care of business. They came back, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with joy and with instruments of music. And as the women answered one another, as they played, so they're all playing, they're happy. This is a victory parade, guys. If the Vancouver Canucks ever win a Stanley Cup, there will be a victory parade. I don't know much about hockey. I'm going underground. That they haven't won one recently, have they? No. All right, forgive me. This is a victory parade. People are excited. People are pumped up. They have instruments of music. They have everything. People are so excited. And the women are talking, and the atmosphere is electric. And they answered one another as they played. And they said this, Saul has slayed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Uh-oh. The girls are chanting this. You know how guys are. They're saying, David, or Saul, you're good, but David's 10 times better than you. And they're chanting it, and they're screaming it. I would take like 10. You know, he gets 1,000. Brandon by 10, you know, like, I would take that. I would say, you know what, David, you are way better, but at least I got 1,000. People are chanting this. The girls are chanting this. They say, David, you're 10 times better than Saul. Verse 8, and Saul was very wroth. He was mad. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000. And guess what? He's looking to himself. And to me, they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? So Saul, he hears what they're saying. This is external voices. People are chanting it. People are excited. Sometimes you don't just have to fight your own voice. You have to fight other people. People might say, oh, you're not going to ever do that. Or you're not good enough. You're not good at so-and-so. What do you do when that comes against you? Or maybe they might say, you preach different. You preach kind of funny. You're not as good as Minister so-and-so, what do? You don't go, yeah, that's right, look to him. No, we make that commitment. We look to Jesus because we know we have our lane and it's not like everybody else's. So he hears this, David, 10,000, me, but thousands. What more can he have but the kingdom? And I want us to look here at verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 9. It says this, and saw I David from that day forward. Saul got his eyes off of God, and he started looking to David. And that is not good. Saul had a race. Saul ran an amazing race. It says in the Bible he was good looking. If the Bible says you're good looking, you are good looking. It says he was good looking. It says he was tall. It says he looked like a king. Come on, somebody, that is something. had a race. He had his own palace. He had it all. But he hears people chanting, David 10,000, me 1,000, and he got discouraged. He got insecure. He didn't remind himself what God has done for me, what I've had, to celebrate the past victories God has helped me to do. And it says he looks to David. That's not good. And we know what happened to him. Just to get peace, there things were bothering him. He would call for David. For David just to play worship music and play music. And it says he would be relieved from that. One, he got kind of crazy. He threw spears at David as David's just having a worship set there. Can you imagine that? Here's David's motto. David loved him. Even when he's trying to kill him, David loved him. Most Christians today, that's so unheard of. He loved him with a love. Even when they came back and they told in Samuel, they talk about how he died. Saul died, and it says that he called for like a 3-day mourn because it says the beautiful Israel has died today. This man was trying to kill him. The guy that relayed the message, he says, "Are you not afraid that you touched God's anointed?" And they took care of that guy by just saying that. He loved Saul. The whole time, Saul's trying to kill him. Saul was asleep, and David cut a piece of his robe off. Didn't want to touch him. He loved him so much. So Saul gets his eyes off of God and puts them on David. Here's David's background. Let's think about David's background. How did he get to the place that he was at? Did he have some connections? Did he know people? No. He's a shepherd. He's a shepherd boy doing what God has called him to do, taking care of those sheep. Shepherds back then, they're not little, I used to think a shepherd guy's a little girly guy. No, these guys were fierce protectors. They had that staff and they knew how to use it. When you have basically food out in the wilderness just walking around, there's going to be things that are going to come out to try to get your sheep. And guess what? They can't protect themselves. They're looking to you. That's David's background. He's there. He's praising God. He's worshiping God, taking care of his sheep. A lion comes after him. He doesn't run away. He takes care of the lion, kills the lion. And the natural, that's not possible. A man to take out a lion? But guess what? God is with him and God was for him. And that God is with us tonight. And he's for us tonight. He's a God of the impossible. A bear comes after him. He takes care of the bear. And guess what? He's not going around telling everybody, "Guess what I did? Took care of a lion. I'm really good. I've been working on my agility. I'm really fast." It's not his ability. And I want to tell you guys this tonight. It's not our ability. It's his ability in us. It's not what we can do. It's about what he can do. But he's asking us tonight to put our eyes on him. Put our eyes on Jesus. David's own father counted him out. Here comes Samuel. God told him, the next king is in the house of Jesse. So he comes. And it says, David's brothers, they look good. They were good looking. Built up, strong. He goes, surely, he made the statement in the Word of God, surely this is who God is talking about, one of David's brothers. He looks good. He looks like a king. God says, nope, it's not him. The next one, maybe it has to be this one. Nope, not him. Not him. This is going against all tradition. The Jewish tradition is the oldest. That's who's next up in line. And then Samuel goes, ma'am, do you have any more? Jesse says, I have one more. And he's out in the back. His own dad didn't think he was good enough to come in to meet Samuel to be the next king. He was still out in the back doing what God had called him to do. And he came in and God said, this is the next king. But think about this. David's not out there trying to be the king in the field. He's out there worshiping the king. That's what we're called to do. We're called to be worshipers. We're called to have our face so set on him. We don't care what people say. We don't care what people think. We don't care what people might try to say about us. We put our eyes on Jesus. And if it seems like we're out in the field and you're by yourself, let me tell you tonight, you're not out in the field by yourself, but you're with him. We are called to be worshipers. There's power in worship. Jehoshaphat in the Bible, they were coming to, you know, take care of business. This war was about to happen. And God spoke. He went before God and God spoke to him and said, don't worry, the battle is not yours. It's not your battle, it's my battle. It's not what you're going through, it's not yours, but we have to give it to him. And it said, he talked about what to do. He says, he gathered the worshipers. And it says, as they began to worship, they went where all the men were, all the men of war. As they went and started worshiping, it says, as they worshiped, the Lord set ambushes. It wasn't before they worshiped, but as they were worshiping. Let me tell you, when you worship God, things happen. Situations you think you're going through, they disappear. As you begin to worship God, as you put him as your number one in your life. Amen. I was looking at that and we know what happens there. They all got killed and it says they went and recovered all the spoils. It took them 3 days to recover everything. And by them worshiping, the Lord took care of their enemies and made them rich. 3 days worth, there was so much spoil. Let me tell you, when you worship God, when you praise him, no matter what, the enemy, he will disappear and the Lord will make you blessed and make you rich. Amen. God is so good. It says this here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. The Lord makes a statement here, and I think this is very valuable. It says this, the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance. This is God speaking. Do not consider his appearance or his height. Don't look how good he looks, how tall he is, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. He knows your heart. He saw David's heart. I want us to all close our eyes. We thank you, Father God. We keep our eyes on you, Father, and you alone. We don't look to anyone else, but we look to you, Jesus. God, you're so good. This has to be, you know, people have their goals for 2018. Their goal might, I want to do this. I want to do that. Our number one goal should be to look to Jesus, and everything else will fall into line. That has to be our number one goal, is to look to him. I pray tonight, I spark something in your heart tonight that you won't leave the same, but forever changed. Maybe you're holding something. Maybe a weight you're holding. Maybe unforgiveness. And maybe what someone said about you, and you're just thinking about it, and you're dwelling in. It's just literally just, it's like eating you up. That has to go tonight. That has to go. We can't be running our race with any weights on. It has to go. Maybe you've been brought up in church. You know God, but maybe you don't have that fire in your life for God. Maybe you would say, Brandon, I used to have it. I used to have that passion, but for some reason it's kind of gone away. Let me tell you, you need to leave tonight so on fire for him with that passion that you used to have. You are not going to leave tonight the same. Because God loves you with a love that surpasses all knowledge and all understanding. He loves you. He has something special for you. And he's prepared something for you. Maybe in your past, people have let you down. But God has never let you down. And he has a lane for you. And he wants you to put your eyes on him. In making that fresh commitment, God, I will put my eyes on you no matter what. We can't be playing church anymore. There's been lots of playing. This is a serious moment that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us. About 2 weeks ago, my wife Destiny and I, we were at the gas station filling up the car, and I hear the Holy Spirit speaks to me right in my spirit. He said, Brandon, this guy is going to try to rob you. Next thing you know, a guy is coming towards me holding something. This is not a good situation. He came up to me. He's holding it, still holding it, talking to me. And right away, I said, you know what? I'm going to throw Jesus in on the scene. Naturally, I don't know what to do. I know it's not a good situation. There's four other guys in the car that just pulled up and car's still running. But I said, you know, Jesus loves you, that he has a plan for your life. And he screams out, I see it, I see it, I see it. It's all over you. It's all over you. Pray for me, pray for me. He said, you don't just talk the talk. I kind of liked how he said this. You're not just talking it, you're walking it. Hey, us Christians here in Kelowna, we don't need to be just talking the talk. We need to be walking it. Everywhere we go, the gas station full of Jesus. So next thing you know, this guy who's had a bad past, he's in my arms. He's telling me, I love you. And I told him, I love you too. That's our God. Went back to the hotel room, and then just this came up into my spirit. Brandon, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And in the Bible, in the next verse, it says this, so we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What shall men do unto me? The enemy will try everything. He'll try man. He'll try circumstances. Try to get you off your path. Trying to get you to run someone else's race. Way over here. And God says, I have something special for you right here. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We honor you. I thank you, Lord, for everyone here. I thank you for your presence, Lord. You're speaking to every heart. You're speaking to every heart, Lord. You're bringing things up, Father God, that they need to get right. Situations, Father, right now, Holy Spirit. If you would say, Brandon, I hear what you're saying. I know I have a race, but there's some things I've been holding on to. There's some weights I've been holding on to. And I want to get rid of those weights tonight. I want to leave free, that I can run my race that God has called me to run. If that's any of you, I want you to be bold and raise your hand right now. Is there anyone here? You're holding on to some weights. Hallelujah. Amen. Or if you would say, Brandon, I want that fire. I want that passion for Jesus. Maybe I walked in it before, but kind of lately I kind of feel like I've been lukewarm and not that zeal for God, but I want to leave tonight so on fire for Jesus that I won't ever be the same again, that my prayer life will be stirred up again, that my prayer life, like the Holy Spirit, is going to breathe on your prayer life and the fire is going to come back. If that's any of you, I want you to raise your hand. Is that any of you guys? Hallelujah. God's doing something tonight. God's doing something tonight. Amen. We've served such a good and faithful God. Just keep your eyes on him. Lord, we worship you. We honor you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for your love, Father. I thank you, Lord, for your love for this sister, Father, how you love her, Lord. With a love, Father, that surpasses all knowledge, all understanding, God. Lord, as you're speaking to her, Father God, that you will leave forever changed in Jesus' name, God. That you have something so special. I feel like the Lord is telling me he has something so special for you. So special for you. And the enemy has thrown some crazy stuff at you. That's all melting away. That's all melting away. That's all melting away. Hallelujah. He's melting it away right now, God. Melt, melt, melt. Melt it away, Father, in the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Lord, what you have called her to go, where you've called her to be, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. I feel like the Lord, like you were, I don't know if you prayed this, but kind of like give me a sign type of thing. Here's your sign. Did you pray something like that? Kind of like I know you called me for something, but kind of feel discouraged, but I want to know. This is it right now. He loves you. He loves all of us. Amen. Hallelujah. We serve such a good, good Father. More, 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 my brother. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord, more and more. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for the things he's been believing for, Lord. Coming to pass supernatural in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, we worship you. Come on, let's just pray. Let's just pray in the spirit, in your heavenly language. Lord, we worship you, God. We honor you. Lord, we depend upon you, Father. More and more and more. More and more and more. God is saying to you tonight, more and more and more. There's more in store for you. More places to go. More opportunities. More finances. More and more and more. This is like a recalculating in the spirit. Like your GPS recalculates. God is recalculating us tonight. That we put our eyes on him and him alone. That we become worshipers. That we become intimate with Jesus. Hallelujah. If you raise your hand for carrying any weights, or if you raise your hand for I want that fire, I want that passion for Jesus, I want my prayer life to be reignited. If you raise your hand, or if you should have raised your hand, I want you to come to the front. Real quick, I want to pray for you. It's real important that you respond right now. Come to the front right now. Praise you, Lord. We worship you. Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. More and more, God's doing something. God's doing something. More and more. Hallelujah. More and more. The fire of God that will leave forever changed. Hallelujah. He's soon in coming. He's soon in coming. He's coming soon. That's why we can't have any waits. He's coming soon. He is coming soon. He is on the scene. He's on the scene for my dear sister. On the scene more and more, God. Thank you, Lord. He is coming soon, Father. Thank you, Lord, for Jessica, Lord, her life, Father God. What she does, Lord, what she's living, Father. Lord, you're blessing. You blessed her, Father God, but you're about to do something radical, something huge. I thank you, Lord, for it. More and more, God. More songs, more messages, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Even your personality. I mean, how many love Jessica, how she is? Her personality, that's a God-given personality. That's not natural. That's something special about that. So I've been hearing something special, Kirsten, Father, more and more, Father. Hallelujah. Michael, Lord. Mike, Father, his heart, more and more, Lord. Hallelujah. He's wonderful. He's coming back so soon. I'm so excited about that. I want to leave this in your spirit tonight. God has called you. If you have a race, you are called by God. God, he doesn't have favorites. You're his favorite. And he wants you to know that he's called you, that you're his favorite, and that he wants you to put your eyes on him. Be so full of Jesus. Be so full of his fire and his presence that everywhere we go, we can make a difference. That we can make an impact. God loves you. I love you. You are a masterpiece built by the Master. When he made you, he broke the mold. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are chosen by God. I pray if the enemy ever tries to discourage you, that these words will come up. You are chosen by God. I am a masterpiece built by the Master. And you are thinking about me. I am on your mind. Lord, I thank you for everything you've done tonight. I thank you for your presence, that you are the Master and we are your masterpiece. Let us, everywhere we go, let us bring your presence, your glory, your fire, and that people around us will be set on fire. In Jesus' name, I thank you for Pastor Dieter and Diane and their hearts for you, Lord. What they are believing you for, God, coming to pass so soon, Lord. Coming forth. Because it's so vital what is here. Victory Life is so vital. I'm hearing that. It is so vital and so precious to him. And I thank you, Lord, for everything you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
When I was praying this afternoon, there's some key words that Brandon shared tonight. And there was one word that I couldn't stop saying when I was praying. It's this. Go, 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 go. And don't you stop. Go, go, go. And run like you've never run before. Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go. And some of us are a little older in this room than some of the younger ones, but even us, we still have some go left in us. We're to go, 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 go. So I need to just share that. And I was praying for the two of you this afternoon. And that same thing, go, 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 like you've never gone before. Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go. Talk about that fire, that fire, that fire. Impartation into those different countries, into those different places, into those people. Go, go. And because you're willing to go. But just like Pastor said at the beginning, because of that, you're going to see things that you've never even dreamed of seeing. And the miracles that will come because you're willing. You're willing. You're willing. You're willing. So go. And it's not just Brandon, it's you, Destiny, as well. That specific, very unique way that you have. So don't you just stand behind. Go, 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 go.